She rolled, straddled him, took him. Pleasure swamped her and spurred her. Her head fell back as she steeped herself in it. He laid his hands on her breasts, then glided them down her body, then gripped hers. The storm rose, wildly, and they rode it out together. She'd meant to tease him a little, tempt him a little, some groundwork for what she'd expected to follow in her bedroom. Now, she thought, she lay naked, stunned, and exhausted by the pond where the fat frog croaked in what might have been approval. She'd just had wild outdoor sex with Dell by the pond where they'd often played as children. She wasn't quite sure if that was weird or wonderful.
Second base.
He ran a hand down her back, over her ass and back again.
Baby, that was a grand slam.
She had to laugh. It was a little wheezy, but she had to.
Good God, Dell, we're naked and sticky. What if Mac and Carter or Emma and Jack had decided to take a walk down this way?
They didn't.
But what if
they didn't?
He repeated, his voice as lazy as the hand that continued to stroke.
Besides, they'd have heard you making sex noises before they got close enough to see anything. Then they'd have politely taken another direction while they sighed in envy.
I didn't make sex noises.
Oh, yeah. Lots of them. Grade-A porn sex noises. You could have a fallback career there.
I most certainly do not.
He rolled on top of her, slid down and found her breast with his mouth. She couldn't quite bite back the gasp and groan.
Hear that? Wasn't me.
Because he just nuzzled in, she found her breath again.
Okay, well, it's good to know if Vows goes under, I can make a living doing porn moanovers.
You'd be a star.
Maybe you should gag me.
When he lifted his head and grinned, she felt heat wash over her.
Not really, I don't think.
We'll keep it as an option.
He lowered his head again, but eased over to take his weight off her.
If we'd thought to pitch a tent, we could just stay here all night.
The idea made her snort.
When's the last time you went camping?
I think I was 12.
Yeah, not your thing, or mine. I guess we need to get dressed and get up to the house.
We're naked and sticky, but I can fix part of that.
He wrapped around her, rolled, rolled. Her brain engaged too late, but soon enough to understand what he had in mind.
No, Dell, you can't—
They hit the cool water of the pond, tangled together. She didn't swallow much, and wiggled and kicked her way to the surface to sputter it out. Well, she did. He laughed like a lunatic.
Shit, shit, you maniac! There are frogs in here, and fish! Fish!
She squealed it as something fluttered against her leg. She struck out for the bank, but he nabbed her.
It feels great.
Fish!
She shoved at him.
Frogs!
You and me. I'm naked in the pond with Laurel McBain, and she's all slippery. Oops,
he said when his hand slid between her legs, when he cupped her.
Dell.
Breathless now, clinging.
We'll drown.
Let's find out.
They didn't drown, but she barely had the strength to pull herself out and onto the grass where she lay gasping for air.
We never, never saw anything like that through the binoculars.
He reared up in shock.
You had binoculars?
Of course we did. We couldn't get close enough to see anything without binoculars. But the frog, he didn't need them, and he's seen entirely too much.
He'll keep quiet about it if he wants to keep his legs.
She managed to turn her head, meet Dell's eyes.
Now we're naked and wet.
But happy.
She smiled.
I can't argue with that. But how are we going to get into the house?
I'm a brown. I have a plan.
In the end, she wore his shirt. He wore the pants, and they balled up the rest. Still damp, and trying not to laugh, they snuck in the side door to make the dash to her room.
I think we pulled it off,
she said, and dumped her load the minute the door was closed.
Now I'm freezing. I need a hot shower.
Yeah, you probably do. You look like somebody who just had sex in the pond.
He put his arm around her to warm her as they walked toward the shower.
Dell? Remind me to do some extra training the next time I make you dinner. She slept like a woman in a coma and surfaced just as groggy and disoriented when her alarm sounded.
No, it's a mistake. It can't be morning.
She opened one eye, read the time display on her clock, and with a resigned slap, turned off the alarm. Beside her, Del murmured something and tried to draw her back.
I have to get up. You should just go back to sleep. Stay in bed.
Good idea.
He rolled over. She scowled at him, then got up to dress in the dark. Down in her kitchen, she brewed coffee and drank the first cup hot and black while she scanned her day's schedule. It might as well have been written in Greek. To clear the cobwebs, she poured a second cup, added a generous spoonful of sugar, then got a muffin out of her tin. She took the coffee and the muffin outside, into the air, into what was arguably her favorite time of day. Just before dawn. Just before the light beat back the dark. Before anyone or anything stirred, and the world, her favorite place in the world, was all hers. Maybe she was tired. Maybe another couple hours' sleep would have been blissful, but it was hard to beat the view, the feel of that hushed early morning. She nibbled on the muffin, sipped the coffee, felt her brain start to clear as the sky turned pink and pale in the east. Her eyes scanned the horizon, and back over the roll of green, skipped over the gardens, the terraces, the pergola Emma and her crew would be busy dressing before long. And she saw the light shimmer over the water of the pond, the vague shadow of the willow swimming on it. She thought of the night, of Del sleeping in her bed, and smiled. It was going to be a beautiful day. Chapter 18. Vacation. Laurel could scent it, nearly touch it. She would be on it if this damn event would ever end. Sunday afternoon events tended toward smaller affairs. Sophisticated or casual, fussy or freewheeling, weddings or anniversary parties booked on a Sunday afternoon leaned toward a pretty brunch or an elegant tea, most often ending early enough for guests to go home, maybe catch a ball game or a movie. But not this one. Not the last event before the glories and raptures of vacation began. At 4 on Sunday afternoon, the ballroom rocked. Champagne flowed. The bride and groom, second-time-arounders in their early 40s, danced to the oldies the DJ spun like a couple of teenagers on spring break.
"Why don't they want to go home and have sex?"
Laurel muttered to Emma.
"They've been together for 3 years, over a year of that, living together. They probably have sex whenever they want."
"But it's wedding-day sex, and they can only have wedding-day sex today. At midnight, that ship has sailed. They should want it. Maybe we need to mention it."
Emma patted Laurel's shoulder.
"Tempting, boy, tempting. But we have to stick it out until 5.
She snuck a glance at her watch.
"You have a Tinkerbell Band-Aid on your finger.
Isn't she cute? It almost makes up for daydreaming about vacation and nicking myself a good one. Anyway, 49 more minutes by my clock. Then it's 2 weeks, Laurel. 14 beachy days.
It makes my eyes sting when I think of it. But if I start crying, people will just think I'm touched by the wedding, so that's okay."
She had to order herself not to shift impatiently from foot to foot.
"We're all packed."
She narrowed her eyes at Emma.
"I'm packed, I'm packed."
"Okay, then. So in 49 minutes, we load up the cars. I figure you have to allow 20 minutes for load-up because of the beach gear and the arguing. That's 69 minutes. Another 10 for Parker to check and recheck her lists. 79 minutes, and we're on the road. Vacation begins the minute you're on the road."
"It does."
Emma smiled at a small group of guests on their way to the bar.
78 now, and a couple hours later we're drinking frozen margaritas on the beach. Del's going to have margaritas ready, right?"
"He'd better, seeing as he's already on the beach."
"Well, somebody had to go up, open the house, get supplies, make sure everything's set up."
"Yeah, he's probably kicked back with a beer now, but I'm trying not to resent that. It's okay, because in 198 minutes, give or take a few, we'll be there too.
Damn, we have to change. Add 20 more minutes. 218. 17,
Emma interrupted.
"Not that we're watching the clock or anything."
"We'll be sipping those margaritas, and our biggest worry will be what to have for dinner."
She gave Parker's arm a pinch when Parker walked over.
"Ow."
"Just making sure none of us are dreaming. We're having a private countdown. 217 minutes till margaritas on the beach."
277. They just asked for the extra hour. Emma's big brown eyes went sad as a hungry puppy's.
Oh, Parker.
I know, but it's their option, their money, and we can't say no.
There could be a bomb threat by an anonymous caller. Just a suggestion,
Laurel said when Parker gave her a bland stare. I'm going to start transferring the gifts to the limo. It'll pass the time. If you need me, beep me. It kept her busy, supervising the transfer, carting gifts out herself. Afterward, she made a trip up to the bride's and groom's suites to make sure they'd been put to rights, then headed down to her kitchen for the boxes needed for leftover cake and desserts.
229 minutes, she told herself.
At 6 sharp, she stood with her partners, with Jack and Carter, waving off the newlyweds and the stragglers.
Go away now, she said under her breath. Bye-bye, keep driving.
Somebody out there might read lips,
Jack commented.
Don't care.
But she gripped his arm and angled herself slightly behind him.
Go home, go away. Okay, there's the last ones. Why are they standing there talking? They've had hours to talk already. Yes, yes, hug, hug, kiss, kiss, go, for pity's sake.
They're getting in their cars, Max said from behind her. It's happening. Starting the cars, backing out, and they're driving. She clamped her hands on Laurel's shoulders. Almost to the road, almost there, nearly clear, and...
Yes! Vacation!
Laurel shouted. Everybody scatter, get your stuff! She dashed inside and up the stairs. Within 15 minutes, dressed in cropped pants, a tank, a straw hat on her head, and sandals on her feet, she dragged her bags downstairs, then frowned at Parker.
How could you be faster than me? How could you? I was like the wind. I was a freaking tornado of speed and efficiency.
My talents are many. I'll bring the car around. Mrs. Grady wandered out while they loaded up and put an insulated bag in the car.
Road supplies, she said. Cold water, some fruit, cheese, and crackers.
You're the best. Laurel turned to give her a squeeze.
Change your mind. Come with us.
Not on your life. 2 weeks of quiet right here will suit me. With her arms slung around Laurel's shoulders, she studied Parker.
Don't the pair of you look ready? Pretty as they come, too.
Beach girls of Southampton, Parker said and did a stylish turn. We'll miss you.
You won't.
Mrs. Grady smiled as Parker kissed her cheek.
But you'll be glad to see me when you get back. Here comes the next group.
She jutted her chin as Mac and Carter pulled up behind Parker's car.
You see she doesn't forget to slather on plenty of sunscreen, she told Carter. Our redhead fries like an egg.
We're stocked.
She handed him an insulated bag. Road food.
Thanks.
Emma's late, naturally. Parker checked her watch. Carter, you're in the middle of the convoy so you don't fall behind.
Aye, Captain.
You have the directions on your GPS in case?
We're good, we're ready. Mac adjusted the brim of her ball cap. We're set.
It's about a 2-hour and 10-minute drive, Parker began. Laurel tuned her out and stared in the direction of Emma's house, as if to will her friend to hurry with the power of her mind.
It worked! Here she comes! Bye, Mrs. G. If you get lonely, drive over. Not likely.
No wild parties. Sober-faced, Parker put her hands on Mrs. G's shoulders. No boys sleeping over, no drugs, no drinking.
That doesn't leave me much, does it?
With a laugh, Mrs. Grady gave her a last farewell hug and muttered in her ear,
Don't be such a good girl. Have fun.
Fun is the first item on my list. Laurel climbed in the car as Mrs. Grady passed the last bag of road food to Emma as more hugs were exchanged. Laurel indulged in a quick bounce on the seat when Parker got behind the wheel.
This is it!
This, my friend, is it. Parker started the car, engaged the GPS.
Roll 'em out.
Laurel let out a yee-haw as they headed up the drive. I can already feel the sand in my shoes, the salty breeze in my hair. You must be dying to get there. You own the place and you haven't seen it yet.
Co-own. I've seen plenty of pictures from the realtor and some that Dell took.
I can't believe you, of all people, furnished the place by phone and online.
No other way to do it. No time to go there. Anyway, it's an efficient way to shop, especially for what's primarily an investment. We bought some of the furnishings already in place as the previous owners didn't want to move most of it. Lots of fussy stuff to see to yet.
It'll be fun to pick up little things or decide to have something repainted. What do you want to do first thing when you wake up tomorrow morning?
Try out the gym, then take a walk on the beach with a huge cup of coffee. Or, depending, skip the gym for a run on the beach.
Run on the beach.
And without your BlackBerry.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I could go into withdrawal.
What about you, first thing?
That's the beauty. I don't know. I have no idea what I want to do or what I will do.
Mac will start taking pictures. Emma's going to plop herself on the beach and stare at the water while she makes happy noises. And you, admit it, will make sure to check your laptop and phone for messages right after the workout and the walk, or after the run.
Parker lifted her shoulders, then dropped them.
Probably, but then I plan to do a lot of staring and making happy noises.
And start a list of what you want to change or add to the house.
We all vacate in our own way.
Yeah, we do. And thanks in advance.
For what?
For the 2 weeks in a beach house in Southampton. Yes, partners and pals, but you could have said you wanted a couple weeks to yourself.
What would I do without you?
There's a question we've never had to answer.
She opened the bag, took out the bottled water. She uncapped them both, set Parker's in the drink cup, tapped it with her bottle.
To us, beach girls of Southampton.
Absolutely.
Tunes?
Unquestionably.
Laurel switched on the radio.
Everything changed when they cut east of New York and started across the skinny island. She lowered the window, leaned out.
I think I can smell the water, sort of.
More than halfway there.
Parker bit into an apple slice.
You should call Dell, give him our ETA.
Good idea, because I'm going to be starving when we finally get there, and jonesing for a margarita. Should I tell him to fire up the grill? Is there a grill?
Dell co-owns the house, Laurel.
Of course there's a grill. Burgers, chicken, or steak?
You know what? First night of vacation. A really big fat steak.
I'll put in the order.
She took out her phone, hit Dell's number.
Hi, where are you?
She looked at the GPS screen, gave him their location.
Hit some traffic?
No, work. We put on such a good event they added an hour. But we're making good time. Parker made Carter drive in the middle, so he squeezed between us and Jack and has to keep up. We'd like to place an order for many frozen margaritas and big fat steaks.
We're happy to serve you. Hey, listen.
In a moment, she heard the whooshing sound.
It's the ocean! Parker, listen!
She held the phone to her friend's ear.
It's our ocean. Are you on the beach?
She demanded when she had Dell back.
Just walk down.
Have fun, but not too much fun until we get there.
I'll pace myself. Oh, hey, do you know if Mal got off?
No, is he coming in tonight?
He wasn't sure. I'll give him a call. See you soon.
Can't wait.
She closed the phone.
Mal might be coming in tonight.
Lovely.
He's okay, Parker.
I didn't say he wasn't. I haven't adjusted to the change in our group dynamic.
Plus, he's got that kind of look in his eye that says, "How about it, sister?"
Yes. Parker took her hand off the wheel to point at Laurel.
Exactly. I don't like it. It's a kind of sexual swagger.
Yeah, but it's honest. Remember that guy you went out with a couple times?
Joffrey, spelled the Brit way.
Wine baron or something.
He had an interest in a few vineyards.
And spoke fluent French and Italian and knew about cinema as opposed to movies. Skied in San Moritz. He turned out to be a complete sleaze, total sexist asshole under all that culture and polish.
God, he really did.
The memory had Parker shaking her head and sighing.
I can usually spot them, but he slipped right under the radar.
Look. Laurel turned her head and got the first glimpse of the ocean.
There it is, she murmured. It's real. We're so damn lucky, Parker.
She thought the same thing again, with a whip of stupefaction, when she got her first glimpse of the house.
That?
Mm-hmm.
That's your beach house? It's a beach mansion, Parker.
It's big, but there are a lot of us.
It's gorgeous. It looks like it's been there forever, perfect for the spot, and still kind of sleek and new.
It is gorgeous, Parker agreed.
I hoped it would be, that it wasn't just the pictures. And it's so private. Oh, and look at the sand and the water and the pond and everything. Together they studied the roof lines, the long span of windows, the charm of decks, the fancy of the cupolas.
She spotted a tennis court, a swimming pool as Parker followed the private drive to the front of the house. Laurel realized it was moments like this that reminded her Dell and Parker weren't rich. They were wealthy.
"I love the angles of it," Laurel said. "You'll be able to see the water, ocean or pond, from any room."
"It's partially on a preserve. Dell and I wanted to be a part of that, keeping it pristine, protecting it. He found it, and it's just exactly right."
"I can't wait to see the rest."
Even as she spoke, Dell stepped out on the front deck and started down. And for that moment, she forgot the rest. He looked so relaxed. Khakis, tea, bare feet. The sunglasses couldn't disguise the pleasure on his face. She got out first, and he held out a hand for hers as he walked to her.
"There you are," he said,
and gave her an easy greeting kiss.
"Nice little beach shack."
"I thought so."
Parker stepped out, took a long look at the house, turned, took another at the water, the views, nodded.
"Good job."
He lifted his arm, so she went over to slide under it, and for a moment the three of them stood, the breeze wafting and the house spread out before them.
"I think it'll do,"
Dell decided. The others arrived, and with them noise, movement, choruses of approval and curiosity as they started unloading the cars and hauling luggage and supplies. The impressions came fast. Sun and space, glossy wood, soft colors. Out of every window stretched water and sand, solitude and sanctuary, the offer of a spot to sit or a path to wander. High ceilings and the easy, open flow from one room to the next added an appealing touch of the casual to the simple elegance of furnishings. A place, Laurel thought, you'd be comfortable with your feet up or sipping champagne in formal wear. The Browns, she admitted, simply had a way. The kitchen brought her an instant surge of pleasure with its acres of straw-colored counters. The textured glass cabinet doors showcased cheerful fiesta ware in a celebration of mixed colors and the sparkle of stemware. Opening the pot drawers, she hummed her approval of the selection of pots and pans. Surrounding the sinks, the tall, bowing windows opened the room to the beach and the crash of waves. Even as she took stock, she heard Jack let out a crow.
"Pinball!"
Which meant there was likely a game room somewhere, but at the moment, she was more interested in the kitchen, the airy dining area, the proximity to the deck for outdoor eating. Dell passed her an icy margarita.
"As promised."
"Oh, boy."
She took the first frosty sip.
"It's officially vacation."
"I staked out a bedroom. Do you want to see it?"
"Absolutely. Dell, this place is a lot more than I had in my head."
"In a good way?"
"In an I'm stupefied way."
She peered into rooms as they passed. Sunroom, what she supposed was a morning room, living room, powder rooms. Then up the bare wood steps to the second floor into a bedroom with a wall of windows facing the ocean. She instantly imagined herself lazily lounging in the iron bed with its open canopy and crisp white bedding. Gauzy curtains fluttered in the breeze and the doors he'd opened to the deck.
"It's beautiful, just beautiful. And listen."
She closed her eyes and let the rolling whoosh of the ocean wash over her.
"Check this out."
He gestured, and she walked into the bath.
"Okay."
She laid a hand on his arm, patted it several times.
"Okay. I may live right here. I may never come out of this room."
The huge tub reined in front of another wall of windows, and on tiles the color of golden sand. Through clear glass she admired the shower with its multiple heads and body jets, its marble bench.
"Steam shower,"
he told her, and she nearly whimpered. Generous bowls, the color and shape of scallop shells, served as sinks. The wall at the foot of the tub boasted a little gas fireplace and a flat-screen TV, so her imagination shifted from lazy lounging in the bed to lazy lounging in bubbling water. Mirrored cabinets reflected the tile, the shine of the fixtures, the expanse of counters, the pretty watercolors arranged on the walls.
"This bathroom's bigger than my first apartment."
Mac rushed in, wild-eyed, arms waving. The bathroom, it's... Wow, look at this one. Never mind, the bathroom," she said again, and rushed out as she'd rushed in.
"I think you have a solid hit,"
Laurel told Dell. Within the hour, the grill smoked and the entire group gathered on the deck. Or Laurel assumed the entire group until she glanced around. Where's Parker?
Taking a solo tour.
Emma sighed, sipped her slushy drink.
Making notes.
I wouldn't change a thing. Behind her enormous sunglasses and wide-brimmed hat, Mac wiggled bare toes. Not one thing. I wouldn't move from this spot for the next 2 weeks, except there are so many other incredibly cool spots I need to be lazy in.
We need to check out the beach.
Jack took Emma's hand to kiss.
We definitely do.
It's a great area for birdwatching, Carter said. I spotted a Cory's shearwater when I walked down earlier, and...
He trailed off, flushed a little.
Geek alert.
I like birds,
Emma said, and reached over to pat his hand.
I'm going to give you some help with dinner any minute now, Dell.
I've got it. Laurel pushed herself up. That way, one of the pair of you takes it next time we want dinner in. I'll go throw something together to go with the steaks. Besides, she wanted to play in the kitchen. Parker came in as Laurel tossed chunks of steamed new potatoes in butter, garlic, and dill.
Need a hand?
Under control. Dell must have hit a farmer's market on the way in. Pretty smart of him.
He's pretty smart.
Parker did another scan as she spoke.
I'm already in love with this place.
God, me too. The views, the air, the sounds. And the house itself, it's incredible. How much will you change?
Not much. Tweak more than change.
She walked to a window. Voices and laughter floated in on the breeze.
That's a good sound. I bet it's beautiful here, even in the winter.
You read my mind. I was thinking how we almost always have that slow period, a week or so after the holidays.
Yeah, I had that thought. Maybe. Dell looks so happy. Part of that's you.
Laurel's hands stilled.
Do you think?
Yes, I do. And I'm standing here watching him man the grill while you put things together in here. It's nice.
She glanced back.
It makes me happy, Laurel. The same way hearing the voices carry inside makes me happy.
I feel the same way.
Good. It's good from someone who loves you both, so...
She turned back from the window.
Are we eating in or out?
An evening like this? Out, definitely.
I'll start setting the table.
Later, they walked off the meal along the beach, waiting in the surf, watching the lights of faraway ships that cruised through the night. As the air cooled, Laurel gave some thought to a long bath and the flicker of the fireplace. But the challenge went out. The game room called. The quiet flipped into the arcade cacophony of pings and whistles. Jack and Dell battled in what looked like a pinball death match when she decided she had to throw in the towel. She left them to it to wander back to the bedroom and indulged in that long soak. When she'd slipped on a nightshirt to step out on the deck, she realized she hadn't looked at her watch in hours. Now that was vacation.
I wondered where you'd gone off to.
She glanced back at Dell.
I have to get in some serious practice before I take on you or Jack. I had the most incredible bath, in firelight, while I looked out at the ocean. I felt like the heroine of my own novel.
If I'd known, I'd have taken one with you, and we'd have written a love scene.
He put his arms around her, so her head rested on his shoulder.
Good day?
Pretty much the best. This place, these views, this air, good friends.
As soon as I saw it, I knew... This is what we need.
Not I need, she noted. Not Dell. Dell was wired for we. I never asked Parker, but I always wondered why the two of you sold the house in East Hampton.
We could never sell the house in Greenwich, our house, its home. But the other... We both knew we could never unwind there or enjoy it. Remembering Mom and Dad at home, that's important. And there's some comfort in it. But the place we had at the beach? We just couldn't go there anymore. This place is new, and we'll make other memories here.
And you needed to wait to do it. A little time and space first.
I guess we did. This is a good place, and it feels like the right time.
She loves it already. I know that matters to you.
She told me, but even if she hadn't, I could see it. We all do. So thanks for finding the right place and the right time.
You're welcome.
He pressed his lips to the side of her neck.
You smell really good,
he murmured. I feel really good, too. She smiled when his hand stroked down her back. See? She tipped up her face, brushed her lips over his. I think we should write that love scene.
Good idea.
With a flourish, he swept her up into his arms.
I think we should open it like this.
It's a classic for a reason. There might have been a more perfect spot, and a more perfect time, and a more perfect mood, but Laurel couldn't imagine it. Her stubborn internal clock woke her before dawn, but she snuggled into the luxury of knowing she didn't have to roll out, but could stay just as she was, curled up with Dell with the sound of the sea serenading. She drifted in and out for a time, and even that was perfect, as was the sunrise over the water to the east. She thought it spread its pinks and gold just for her as she stood on the deck with the filmy curtains fluttering behind her. Inspired, she tugged on a tank and shorts, then jogged down the outside steps. Parker stood at the base, in a tank and shorts, her deep brown hair caught back in a long tail under a sassy white cap.
You're up, too.
Oh, yeah.
Laurel lifted her hands.
What's wrong with us?
Not a thing. Everyone else is sleeping through vacation. We're wringing every drop out of it.
Damn right. That beach calls for a run, as previously discussed.
My thoughts exactly. They warmed up on the walkway, then set off at an easy pace on the sand. They didn't need to talk, but simply matched gaits, followed the shoreline with the surf foaming beside them. Birds took wing or strutted in the foam. Carter would likely know what they were, Laurel thought, but it was enough just to have them there, soaring, calling, pecking while the rising sun sparkled on the water. When they turned back, they kept up the same steady pace until the house came into view again. Laurel reached over to touch Parker's arm as she slowed.
Just look at it. That's where we're going.
Don't hate me, but it makes me think, wow, what a fabulous place for casual beach weddings.
I may have to hurt you.
I can't help it. It is a fabulous place.
How many calls have you taken since we got here?
Only two. Okay, three, but all easily handled. And I got a sunrise run on the beach and am now seriously jonesing for coffee. In fact, last one there makes it.
She took off in a sprint. Laurel was quick off the mark, but she already knew she'd be making the coffee. Parker ran like a damn cheetah. Once she made the deck, she leaned over, hands on knees to catch her breath.
I was gonna make the coffee anyway.
Uh-huh.
I hate that you're barely winded, but I'll still make the coffee and egg white omelets.
Seriously?
I'm in the mood.
The others wandered down, probably lured by the scent of coffee and the music Parker turned on low. Dell leaned on the counter, shoving fingers through his sleep-tousled hair.
Why aren't you still in bed with me?
Because I've already had a 3-mile run on the beach and my first cup of coffee.
She handed him one.
Shortly I'm having breakfast, which you can benefit by, as I'm feeling generous.
He gulped down coffee.
Okay,
he said, and walked out onto the deck to flop into a chaise. Emma stopped slicing fruit to roll her eyes in a look that clearly said,
Men. He gets away with it today because I'm in a very good mood.
She paused at the sound of an engine, shifted closer to the window.
Who could that be?
Outside, Parker set a pitcher of juice on the table, then glanced down to see Malcolm Cavanaugh remove his helmet. He gave his hair a shake as he swung off the motorcycle.
Nice little place you've got here,
he called up to Dell, then headed up the stairs. He shot Parker a quick grin.
How's it going, Legs? Looks like I'm in time for breakfast.
He slid into the group, Laurel thought later. Parker might find him a little irritating, but he did slide in. By mid-morning, they'd staked their territory on the beach with folding chairs, blankets, umbrellas, coolers. The air smelled of sea and sunscreen. She'd nearly dozed off over her book when Dell plucked her bodily out of her chair.
What? Cut it out!
Time for a dip.
If I want a dip, I'll use the pool. Stop it!
K. Can't come to the seashore without getting in the sea.
He waded right in with her over his shoulder, then tossed her. She managed one short curse, then held her breath. The cool water closed over her head, and she felt sand swim in every damn where as she pushed herself up. When she blinked the salt water out of her eyes, she saw him standing about waist high and grinning.
"Damn it, Del, it's cold!"
"Refreshing," he corrected, and dived under an oncoming wave.
She, of course, didn't see it coming. Knocked down, breathless, carrying yet more sand, she started to push up again as he wrapped his arms around her waist.
"You're so pushy, Brown."
"Got you in, didn't I?"
"I like to look at the ocean, swim in a pool."
"We don't have an ocean at home,"
he pointed out.
"Here comes another one."
At least she was prepared this time, rolled with the wave, and had the satisfaction of shoving him under. He only surfaced laughing. Since she was wet, sandy, and covered with salt, she struck off to swim past the breakers. As her skin and muscles warmed, she had to admit Del had a point. They didn't have an ocean at home. She dived under again, just for the pleasure of it, and once more, his hands closed around her waist.
"That's far enough out."
"Pushy," she said again.
"Maybe."
But he wrapped around her so they bobbed. She felt him take a few strong kicks to bring them closer to shore. What the hell, she decided, and, relaxing against him, let him do the work. She watched her friends, on shore and sea, listen to the sounds of voices, of surf, of music. "I could get myself back to the beach," she told him, "like I could have gotten myself in the water in the first place if I'd wanted to."
"Yeah, but then I couldn't do this."
He shifted her, took her mouth as the water rocked them. Once again, she was forced to admit he had a point. Chapter 19. She wanted to bake. Maybe it was the light pitter-patter of morning rain outside the windows that turned the beach into a pearly watercolor, or just several days running without doing much more in the kitchen than making coffee or nuking some popcorn. Laurel supposed it was the same as Parker sneaking off for a couple of hours every day to huddle over her laptop, or Mac with her camera. And hadn't Emma hunted up a flower shop so she could buy armloads to arrange around the house? After a few days of sleeping in, lazing around, after the long walks and nightly game fests, she just wanted to get her hands in some dough. She'd already checked out the pantry, noting that Del knew her well enough to stock the basics, and with some surprise realized he paid enough attention to what she kept in her own pantry to shelve more specifics toward professional baking. But he didn't know everything, she thought, because she was in the mood for pies. She made a mental list, knowing it depended on what she found once she got to the market. She left a note for Parker. "Gone to market. Borrowed your car. L." And grabbing the keys and her purse, set out on what she thought of as a little adventure. In the gym, Parker watched the rain as she finished up her cardio session. She hadn't turned on the news, as was her habit, a concession to the holiday. Whatever was going on in the world just had to wait until she got back home. With the exception of her brides. But really, she thought, it hadn't been too bad. A scatter of calls, a handful of problems and concerns she'd been able to handle long distance. In fact, it was satisfying to know she could be away and still deal with what needed to be done. She smiled as she spotted Mac, her shock of red hair covered in a ball cap, her windbreaker a bright blue flash as she headed down to the rain-washed beach with her camera. They could get away from home, Parker thought, but not from what they were. She watched a moment longer, then walked over to switch the music to something less driving for the rest of her workout. It was such a treat to take as much time as she wanted, not to watch the clock, not to adjust her routine to meet an appointment or dig into a chore. She opted to make use of the bar, started off with some pliés. When Mal walked in, she had her foot on the bar and her nose to her knee.
"Bendy,"
he commented, then lifted his eyebrows when she stared at him.
"Do you have a problem with me getting some time in?"
"No, of course not." It irritated her that she caught herself too often, stiff and ungracious around him. So she made a deliberate effort to be friendly. "Help yourself. You can change the music if you want. It won't bother me." She refused to be bothered. He only shrugged and headed over to the weights to set up for bench presses.
"I didn't know anyone else was up until I heard the long hair."
"Mac's already down at the beach with her camera.
No reason not to be civil, Parker told herself.
In the rain?
We can't seem to help ourselves. She turned to face him with a smile, but mostly because she suspected he'd stare at her ass if she didn't.
Whatever works for you. I've seen some of her shots. You ought to put some up around here.
It surprised her, as she'd already planned to do so. Yes, we should. So, what do you press?
I keep it about 150. You've got good arms,
he said after one of his long surveys.
How about you?
110, maybe 120 if I'm in the mood for it.
Not bad.
She watched him out of the corner of her eye as she stretched. There was no denying the man had arms on him. Muscles bunched but didn't bulge as he lifted and lowered the weights. High on his sleek right biceps rode a tattoo in the shape of a Celtic manhood knot. She'd only Googled the design out of curiosity. She respected a man who stayed in shape. As she'd seen Mal stripped down for the ocean, not that she'd paid particular attention, she knew he did. She moved on to crunches, and he to curls. She added in some Pilates, and he switched to flies. He was unobtrusive, so she nearly forgot he was there and ended her workout with a few minutes of yoga to stretch everything out again. She turned to get a bottle of water and nearly walked into him. Sorry.
No problem. You're seriously ripped there, Miss Brown.
Toned, she corrected. I'd pass the ripped to you, Mr. Cavanaugh. He got two bottles of water out of the cooler, handed her one. Then he moved in until her back was against the cooler, his hands on her hips, and his mouth taking easy possession of hers. She told herself it was the stunned surprise. Where had this come from? That prolonged the moment, the kiss, the slow, sultry rise of heat. She shoved him back a half a step, gulped in air. Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Okay.
She stared him down, but he seemed unaffected by the look that withered most. Still, he didn't move in on her again, but only stood watching her with those sharp green eyes. Cat to mouse, she thought. That's how it made her feel. And she was nobody's mouse. Listen, if you've got the idea that because everyone's paired up and we're...
No, that was you. 4th of July. I remember it really well.
That was just nothing.
I liked it. But no, I don't have the idea. I just like your mouth and thought I'd see if my memory was accurate. It was.
Now that we've established that... She elbowed him aside and stalked out. On a sound that combined amusement and pleasure, Mal stepped over to change the music. He preferred his long hair with guitar and drums. With very warm feelings toward the local market, Laurel unloaded her bags. She might have gone just a little overboard, but since it made her happy, she didn't see anything wrong with that. She had enough to bake her pies, some bread, a coffee cake, and whatever else struck her fancy.
I think it's clearing up.
She turned to see Mac, windbreaker shiny with rain, crossing over from the beach steps.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
No, really, see? Look over there.
Mac pointed to the eastern sky.
Little patches of blue. I'm optimistic.
And wet.
Got some great shots.
She reached in for another bag.
Dramatic, dreamy, moody. Geez, this is heavy. What did you get?
Stuff. Mac peeked in, then sent Laurel a smug smile.
You're going to bake. Just can't take the Betty out of the crocker.
You should talk, since you haven't dug Annie out of the Leibovitz.
Emma's making noises about putting in a beach garden. Pampas grass and, well, who knows. It doesn't make us workaholics.
No, it makes us productive.
Much better, Mac agreed as they hauled the load up the steps. I'm having the best time, and now I can't wait to upload the digitals and see what I've got. I took some film, too. I wonder what it would take to talk Parker and Dell into putting in a darkroom.
Parker thinks the place would be perfect for casual beach weddings. Mac pursed her lips in thought.
That may be going too far. Except shit, it really would.
Don't encourage her, Laurel ordered, and shifted her bags to open the door. Before she could, Dell pulled it open.
There you are.
He took a bag from each of them.
Did we need supplies?
I did. He set them on the counter, leaning down to give her a quick kiss.
Good morning. Hey, Macadamia, you're all wet.
It's clearing up,
she insisted.
I'm going to grab some coffee. Have you seen Carter?
Briefly. He had a book about this thick.
Dell stretched his thumb and forefinger out.
That'll keep him occupied.
She poured the coffee and gave them a salute on her way out.
Missed you in bed this morning,
Dell said to Laurel.
I woke up to the sound of the rain and the surf and thought, now this is the perfect place to be. But you weren't there, so it wasn't.
I went on a mission.
So I see.
He reached in a bag, pulled out one of several lemons.
Lemonade?
Lemon meringue pie, and a deep-dish cherry pie, I think. And I want to bake some bread, maybe a coffee cake. Rainy mornings are great for baking.
Boy, our minds went in different directions on rainy morning.
She laughed as she unpacked the bags.
If you'd woken up sooner, we could have had both.
No, let me unpack. I know where I want everything. He shrugged and left her to it.
I guess I'll hit the gym then, especially since pies are in my future. If you've got the receipt or remember what you spent, I'll pay you back.
She stopped.
Why? You shouldn't have to buy the supplies,
he said absently as he pulled a bottle of Gatorade out of the fridge.
And you should?
She couldn't stop the line of heat that rode up her spine.
Well, it's...
Your house? She finished.
Yes, but I was going to say it's more equitable since you're doing the work.
Nobody did any work last night when we all went out to dinner and you picked up the check.
Well, that was just... What's the problem? Somebody else will get it next time.
Do you think I care about your money? Do you think I'm with you because you can pick up dinner checks and have a place like this? He lowered the bottle.
Jesus, Laurel, where did that come from?
I don't want to be paid back. I don't want to be taken care of, and you can screw equitable because that's never going to happen. But I can pay my own way, and I can buy my own damn supplies when I want to make some pies.
Okay. I'm a little puzzled why offering to pay you back for a bunch of lemons pisses you off, but since it does, offer rescinded.
You don't get it, she muttered as Linda's jeering hired help echoed in her mind. Why would you?
Why don't you explain it to me?
She shook her head. I'm going to bake. Baking makes me happy. She reached for the remote, turned on music at random. So go work out.
That's the plan.
But he set down the bottle to take her face in his hands, study it.
Be happy, he said.
Kissed her, grabbed the bottle again, and left.
I was, she murmured. We'll be again.
Determined, she began arranging her supplies and ingredients as suited her. Mal walked in while she cut shortening into her flour mixture for the pastry dough.
I love seeing a woman who knows what she's doing in the kitchen.
Glad to oblige. He went to the coffee pot, judged the remainder stale, tossed it.
I'm going to make a fresh pot. You want?
No, I've had enough.
So what's on the menu?
Pies. She heard the edge in her voice, made the effort to dull it. Lemon meringue and cherry.
I've got a weakness for a good piece of cherry pie.
Once he'd set the coffee to brew, he stepped over to her counter, scanned it.
You use actual lemons for the lemon meringue?
Well, they were out of mangoes.
She glanced at him as she added ice water.
What else?
You know, that little box with a picture of a slice of pie.
She unbent enough to laugh.
Not in my kitchen, friend. Juice and rind from actual lemons.
How about that?
He poured the coffee, then poked in a cupboard.
Hey, Pop-Tarts. Is it going to bother you if I watch?
Stumped, she stopped what she was doing to stare at him. You want to watch me make pies?
I like seeing how things work, but I can take off if I'm in your way.
Well, just don't touch anything.
Deal.
He took a seat on a stool on the other side of the counter.
Do you cook at all?
He ripped open the Pop-Tart package as he spoke.
When I first took off for L.A., it was learn to put food together or starve. I learned. I make a damn good red sauce. Maybe I'll put that together tonight, especially if the rain keeps up.
Mac claims it's clearing. Mal glanced out at the thin, steady rain.
Uh-huh.
That's what I said.
She picked up the rolling pin, a good marble one she knew Dell had bought with her in mind. It made her feel small about jumping down his throat. A sigh escaped as she flour-dusted her board.
It's hard to be rich.
She looked up, stared again.
What? Harder to be poor,
he said in the same easy tone.
I've been both, relatively, and poor is tougher. But rich has some baggage with it. I was doing okay in L.A., steady work. I built up a rep and I had a decent cushion when I got hurt doing that gig. That put the brakes on the work, but they ended up dumping a shit pile of money on me for my trouble.
How bad were you hurt?
Broke a few things I hadn't broken before and a few more I already had.
He shrugged it off as he bit into the Pop-Tart.
Point is, by my standards anyway, I was rolling in it. A lot of other people figured the same, and that they could do some rolling, too. Mice come out of the woodwork looking for a nice bite of the cheese. Then they get nasty if you don't share, or share enough to their way of thinking. Gave me a whole new perspective on who and what mattered, and who and what didn't.
Yeah, I guess it would.
Dell's always had the rolling in it, so it's some different for him.
She stopped rolling. You were listening?
I was walking by. Heard what I figure was the last of it. I didn't plug my ears and whistle a tune, but maybe you don't want my take.
Why would I? Her frigid tone didn't seem to chill him in the least.
Because I get it. I know what it is to need to prove you can handle yourself, make your own. I don't come from where you do, but it's not all that far off. My mother talks,
he added.
I let her, so I've got some of the backstory.
She shrugged. It's not a secret.
Pisser, though, being gossip fodder, especially when it's ancient history and not really about you, since it's about your parents.
I guess I should quid pro quo and tell you I know you lost your father, and your mother moved back here to work for your uncle, and that didn't work so well for you.
He's a fucker. Always was.
He picked up his coffee, gestured with the mug.
How do you do that, the crust deal? Get it almost perfectly round.
Practice.
Yeah, most everything takes it.
He watched in silence as she folded it, placed it in the first pie plate, unfolded.
Applause. So anyway, my take.
If I'm going to get your take, you can be useful and pit the cherries.
How?
She handed him a hairpin, took another. Like this. She demonstrated, plunging the pin into the base of the cherry. The pit popped out the top. His eyes, very green, lit with interest.
That's freaking ingenious. Let me try that.
He did so with considerable more skill than she'd expected, so she pushed two bowls toward him. Pits in here, fruit in here.
Got it.
He got to work.
Dell doesn't think about money like most of us do. He's nobody's fool, that's for damn sure. He's generous by nature. Nurture, too, if what I hear about his parents is even half true.
They were amazing people. Incredible people.
That's the word on the street.
Mal's hands worked quickly, deftly, impressing her with pin and pit.
He's compassionate and fair. Not a pushover, but believes in using money not just for his comfort and pleasure, but to build, to make a mark, to change lives. He's a hell of a guy.
He really is.
Plus, he's not an asshole, which counts a lot. Hey, you're not going to water up or anything, are you?
Mal asked cautiously.
No, I don't water up easily.
Good. So what I'm saying is he buys this place, or he and Legs buy it.
Are you really going to call Parker Legs?
She sure got them. An investment, sure, and a getaway for them. But they open it up. Seems to me they could have said, okay, vacation time, see you in a couple weeks. But that's not what they did.
No, they didn't. Her opinion of him rose several notches. He understood, and he appreciated.
So we've got this house full of people. I felt a little weird about tagging along, but that's on me. For Dell, it's, we've got this place, let's use it. No weight, no strings.
You're right. Damn it. Those sharp green eyes met hers again, with an understanding that nearly made her water up.
But he doesn't get we bring our own weight, our own strings. He doesn't feel them or see them. If he did,
he'd be irritated or insulted, she finished.
Yeah. But sometimes a girl needs to buy her own lemons, so he's got to deal with the irritation and insult.
She finished the other pie crust, placed it in the second pan.
I should be able to explain it to him. I guess that's on me.
I guess it is.
Just when I was starting to like you, she said, but smiled.
When Emma wandered in, Laurel was demonstrating the proper way to create meringue.
Tournament in the game room in about an hour.
Poker?
Mal asked, brightening up.
It's being discussed. Jack and Dell are putting together some sort of game decathlon, and poker is an element. They're arguing point system. Ooh, pie.
I have to finish this. Then I'm going to start some bread while Mal makes red sauce.
You cook?
I'd rather play poker.
Oh, well, I could...
Uh-uh.
Laurel pointed a finger at Mal. We have an arrangement.
Fine, but the tournament doesn't start until I'm done here, and I don't do the dishes.
Reasonable, Laurel allowed. We need 90 minutes, she told Emma. If the rest of the entrants want to eat tonight, they'll wait for us.
Laurel brought a timer with her, set for the end of the bread's second rising. Her pies cooled on their racks, and Mal's sauce simmered low on the range. It seemed a damn good deal for a rainy day. When she stepped into the game room, she realized Dell and Jack had made their version of pie out of lemons. They'd set up stations, even had them numbered. The poker table, the Xbox, the mat for Dance Dance Revolution, the dreaded foosball. She sucked at foosball. Any number of people had been in and out of the kitchen in the last hour, grabbing snacks, drinks. The bar held bowls of chips, salsa, cheese, fruit, crackers. Sometime over the last hour or so, they'd fashioned a scoreboard, listed the names.
This looks pretty serious.
Competition's not for sissies,
Dell told her.
Parker tried to ban cigars from the poker rounds. She's been overruled. I hear Mal's handling dinner.
Yeah, we've got that end of things under control. We'll require a couple of timeouts to check on things.
Fair enough.
Yes, he was, she thought. Fair enough. Generous by nature, as Mal had said. He'd gone to considerable trouble here. For his own benefit, sure. The man loved to play. But also to make sure everyone had a good time. She crooked her finger to gesture him over to a more private spot as Mac argued with Jack over the choices of video games. I'm not going to apologize for the content, but for the delivery.
All right.
I don't want either of us to feel, ever, your wallet has to be open.
Frustration flickered over his face.
I don't. You don't. It's not...
That's what counts, then. She rose to her toes to touch her lips to his. Let's forget about it. You're going to have enough to deal with when I kick your ass in this tournament.
Not a chance. The trophy for the first annual Brown Beach tourney is as good as mine.
There's a trophy?
Of course there's a trophy. Jack and Parker made it.
She followed the direction of his finger. On top of the mantel stood what might have been a piece of driftwood or salvage with shells placed strategically to emulate a primitive bikini. Dried kelp covered the head. They'd drawn on a face with a fierce and toothy grin. She burst out laughing and went over for a closer look.
Better, Dell thought. She'd brushed off whatever pinched at her. But brushing it off didn't mean it wasn't lurking in the corners waiting to pinch again. He'd had time to think about it, and believed he had an idea what some of it at least was about, and where it might have come from. He also believed he knew how to find out. He glanced over to where Emma manned the bar. He just needed to bide his time and use the right approach.
Let the games begin,
Jack called out and held up a hat.
Everyone picks a number for the first round.
She really did suck at foosball. So great was her failure, even Carter beat her. Now that, she thought, was humiliating. Still, she'd killed at pinball with a run of luck and skill that had put her slightly ahead of both Jack and Dell in that field of play, much to their chagrin. And that was satisfying. She felt she'd hold her own at poker, but currently Mal and Parker were ripping it at competitive DDR. She'd have to ace her run to even have a fighting chance for the trophy. She sipped wine as Parker and Mal hit double A's at the end of their second of three rounds. Shit, she was probably doomed. It was probably unfair to think having Mal there balanced things out, but it did. Parker was perfectly capable of getting her own man if she wanted one, but it just added a nice touch. Plus, they looked really good together. Really good. And maybe she should switch back to water if she was heading toward even around the borders of matchmaking. She shrugged, took another sip, then prepared for her round with the Xbox. She entered the final round, tied with Mac for fifth after scorching Jack at DDR.
"Damn the Xbox,"
he muttered.
"Killed my standings."
"You're in fourth,"
Emma poked his belly.
"I'm dead last. Something's wrong with that pinball machine, and my Xbox controller was faulty."
She plucked the cigar out of his hand.
"For luck,"
she decided and took a puff.
"Ugh, can't be worth it."
40 minutes into Texas Hold'em, Laurel went all in on a pretty heart flush. The pot would put her on top and potentially eliminate Emma, Mac, and possibly Carter. As the bet rounded the table, she felt a buzz as her opponents folded one by one. Until Carter. He considered. Weighed. Endlessly, she thought. Then called. "Ace high, heart flush." She spread her cards.
"Very nice,"
Dell told her.
"Oh."
Carter adjusted his glasses, looked sorrowful.
"Full house, queens over sevens. Sorry."
"Woo!"
At Mac's cheer, Laurel scowled.
"Sorry, I have to cheer. We're getting married."
"Maybe you could check the sauce,"
Mal said. "Yeah, I can do that." She pushed away from the table. It was the stupid foosball. She took her time, stirred the sauce, then wandered over to step onto the deck. Mac's prediction had finally come true. It had cleared up. Maybe it had waited all day to do it, but the skies bloomed blue again. There'd be a moon out later, and the stars. Lovely night for a walk on the beach. She went up to see Emma at the bar pouring a Diet Coke.
"You out?"
"I'm out."
"Yay, I won't come in last."
"I could hate you for that, but I'm magnanimous. Jack's down to his last chips. Our love did not soar us on wings of skill and luck this day. But hell, it was fun. Oops, there goes my man. I guess I should commiserate."
It took another 30 minutes for the eliminations, and a few more for the tallying.